Morning, birds. Hey. I heard you early. Sound pretty good. I know you're dodging the planes. You had a couple of days where you're just a little off, I thought, birds. You know, you just weren't tweeting. But no, you sound better. What's the secret? Oh, steroids? That'll do it.
Marching.
They are. Dave Matthews Band on a Monday. Hello. Welcome in. It's 5 after the hour. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Bleat.network here in Chicago, and we welcome you on the 5th of October here. You know what? I'm going to throw out, if you're listening to us between 9 and 10 a.m. In the central time zone, then you have us live, and this will be a day in which I'll invite you to call up. I'll take your phone call at 773-907-0724. That's our studio line. So I'll try to keep an eye out, see if that lights up. I know at some point we're going to light up our phone and talk to Aaron, the news baron, about some of the news going on today. So I woke up this morning, and my astrology said that it would be I would be unable today to talk about things without being emotional about them. So I thought I'd just lay it all out here. I think you know that we have a very unusual situation with the current president in the hospital, or not in the hospital, or in and out of the hospital. That's going on. I thought I would share what I could with you to start with, in full disclosure. He is about, I think he's got 4 years on me, but we're in the same general category of risk, and I take some of the stuff that he does, not the Adderall, but I want you to know that I probably have a little bit of insight, and we'll see. I thought I'd tell you what I thought about that and where I think we go from there, because this is something that can anything that happens. We're a month from the election. You knew this? I'm sure you did. Anything that happens in the next 30 days has a historic impact. So, So anyway, if you slept through everything yesterday, Trump, after being admitted to Walter Reed Hospital, decided to take like a little road trip yesterday. He came out and got in that Chevy Suburban and drove around and waved. And what are you doing? Let's start there. This guy is much sicker than they're letting on. They can't even get the story straight now. I'm reading through, I'll read verbatim. Here's the New York Times. President Trump sought to dispel any perception of weakness on Sunday with a surprise and seemingly risky outing from his hospital bed to greet supporters. Who does this? Come on. The doctors said that Mr. Trump's blood oxygen level dropped twice in the 2 days after he was diagnosed with the coronavirus. Folks, that's not a little thing. It just isn't. You don't just give people oxygen and say, let me know if you're feeling better. We'll up the jello. It doesn't work that way. And then I think they're still returning to the doctors, insisted his situation had improved enough since then that he could be released from the hospital as early as Monday. I don't know what to say. Okay, yeah, that's a good start. All right. The following is based on a fair amount of research I've done. As I said, the fact that President Trump and I are roughly the same age, and blah 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 blah, and how these things are expected to go. It's likely that he's going to feel better. In short order, that's consistent with that age group and what they're doing with him, and then he doesn't feel so good, and then after that it could be very it could be seriouser. Where am I going with this? I think you're going to see him popping back and forth to the White House. I think you'll see that he wants you to know, and he wants the stock market to support this fiction that he's fine. I think you'll see him released from Walter Reed, and they'll drive him over to the White House. He'll wave out the window, and then they'll say, "Oh, yeah, he's doing fine. He's taking a nap. You know, he's resting." And then you won't hear anything, and then it'll say, "Well, you know what? He's going back over to Walter Reed." No, it's just a checkup, and then he'll go back in there, and after that, I think you're going to see a cover-up of whatever. You know, it's 10 after the hour right now. He could have died during the Dave Matthews Band record. Probably didn't. But if he were dead right now, you think you'd know that? You would not. I'm sorry, you would not. This is the biggest national secret that we have ever dealt with, is this man's condition. And I think that this is, how can you spin the impending death of the President of the United States? But they will, in fact, be spinning it. So I'm going to go off here. All right. With your permission and all due respect, I'm really angry about everything that's happened with Trump and the Trumpsies, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. I'm going to grab a little thing here. One of the things that was commented about, why this was such a bad idea yesterday, was that he endangered his Secret Service detail. All the people who were then re-exposed to this have to now be quarantined. I could go on and on and on. Listen, I was vetted by the Secret Service a long time ago when I had the opportunity to interview Al Gore, who was vice president. That, speaking of which, I wonder if we could get him on the show. That would be a Hail Mary pass, but that'd be very interesting to see what he has to say about all this. So, what's that all about? Well, what's that all about is me standing around watching these people who are armed, waiting for some homicidal maniac to come after, you know, the president or the vice president, and just being a part of that scene. I was riveted, stunned, impressed, blown away by the amount of bravado these guys have. Bravado and guys, women and women. That's just the way I talk. So you've got a guy here who is so selfish, so eager for a photo op that he endangers the very people who are sworn to protect him. Shame on you, chump. Shame on you. I will continue here. I worked downtown for something like 7 years when I was working for Tribune, WGN. And we broadcast much of the time out of a showcase studio, which was in the basement of Tribune Towers, right there on Michigan Avenue. And I loved it. We went in, there was a big, big studio. I'm a ham. I'm like, hello. Now, I did ask them. I said, are these windows bulletproof? And they were. In the 7 years that I was there, I only had to do the following once. And the following follows the fact that was mostly a great little, you know, opportunity. We had an intercom, and we have tourist groups coming through, and hey, how you doing? Oh, the kids look good. Where'd you go for lunch? So it was a great thing. Only one time in all that time did I have to reach over and hit a button, which was a couple of inches from where my hand was, that turned on a light in the office that told the security people, in this case Tribune Security, which is a police force, that there was an issue. And I only had to do that once. Some guy who just looked off was out there. I didn't know what the deal was, and I thought, you know what, let's just check it out. I pressed the button. They came out and did whatever they did, you know, to deal with him, which was not much. They made him go away. But consider, here's a guy that could have been endangering not only me, big deal, but the radio station, onlookers, bystanders. Who knew? I might have had a bomb in his lunch. And what was between that scenario and him? It was the security person who was at the other end of my button. And on top of all the other risks that this man was undergoing to protect me and the radio station and free speech and blah, 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 I would then load on by saying, hey, and by the way, would you mind being exposed to the COVID for a while? No. I'm sorry, this behavior, it's really beyond defense. So that was one thing that hit me yesterday. I think also that it's a serious situation now where just, you know, so many people are want to know what's the deal with COVID. Now we have the commander in chief. Now we got the patient in chief. And if they're going to spin this, you know what, that's not helpful. He has been given the steroid dexamethasone, according to medical experts. I was reading over the weekend. You'll remember John F. Kennedy, who at the time that he was assassinated in 1963, he looked great. All of that. I mean, he did. He was a healthy, youthful-looking guy. Although he suffered from Addison's disease, which was this debilitating back thing, and he wore a brace. Anyway, I was reading, and it made the point, well, gee, of course he looked good. He was on steroids. There you go. So back to the injection of dexamethasone that may have been given to President Trump. let's read between the lines. That's been shown to help patients who are severely ill with COVID-19. You hear what I said? Seriously ill. Not just, he's got a little bit of a tickle. It is not used in mild or moderate cases of the disease. So, we're saying what? We're saying, well, you know, the guy's just, he's doing fine, but they're giving him something that they don't give to someone who is not ill, seriously ill, right? So that was lie number one, or maybe lie number eight. I'm not sure what lie we're up to. And I will now quote an attending physician at Walter Reed Hospital who said, quote, every single person in the vehicle during that completely unnecessary presidential drive-by just now has to be quarantined for 14 days. It's Dr. James P. Phillips. He is an attending physician at Walter Reed. They might, and he said, get this, please, Americans, get this. He said, quote, they might get sick. They may die for political theater commanded by Trump to put their lives at risk for theater. This is insanity. Close quote. Dr. Phillips. All righty. Am I making my point? This is why I try to get up a little early and digest some of this. So what do you know about this? Who's a doctor that we could get on the show? Probably nobody. I'm going to go underground tomorrow and talk to Dr. Paul. Maybe I'll get a scoop. I can tell you that he's received what's called an experimental antibody cocktail. Which I could, I'll have another over here. No, it's not that kind of cocktail. It is a thing that you do. It's in the midst of a five-course Remdesivir, which is an antiviral drug. Remdesivir. Make sure you go out and buy some stock in that. Trump historically hates hospitals, it says here, and anything related to illness. He's been hankering to get released. Well, folks, anybody that's been on a hospital has been hankering to get released. You know, as again, full disclosure, I think some of you know I've been in and out of hospital recently, and I'm doing fine. But I'm trying to imagine. I know there was one point where I was in bed a couple of weeks ago, and I was on the other here, and I was really trying to get the staff. I said, listen, I'm going crazy here. Can I just walk around the, you know, the floor? And they were like, you know, we really got to have somebody to do that with you. And this is so good for you to get out of bed. What kind of a jerk am I going to be to say, no, do it anyway. It's all about me. So that's about that. I think what you're going to find here, it's 18 after the hour. I'm going to call up Aaron the News Baron and get him cooking here on the subject of what he thinks might be going on. So again, to review, I think they're going to play this any which way but true. Mike Pence is somewhere, you know, this guy, Pence and I are both from Indiana. Pence used to be a talk show host. Do you know that? Yeah, Pence had a radio show in Indiana before he was governor. So I keep thinking, you know, maybe there's a very stable genius, and he ain't named Trump. At least Pence was smart enough to not get the COVID before the election. Huh? What do you think? And here's a tip. Try not to be dying the day that they vote for you. Political savvy. All right. So anyway, we're going to talk about what I think might be going on and mostly what I think they might be thinking of. That we will get to. And we'll talk about being a sick president. There have been several in history that we trot out our memories and talk a little bit about that. Anyway. All that going on today. Hey, the Bears lost. Huh? I know. Gaslighter, denier, doing anything to get your ass fired.
slider, big timer, repeating all of the mistakes of your father.
We moved to California and we followed your dreams. I believed in the promises you made to me. For that night, till death do us part, but you lied.
Chicks, Gaslighter. It's 23 after the hour here from Pandemic Pirate Radio. This is pretty funny. I just had a long conversation with somebody who I thought was somebody else. We got our friend Aaron the News Baron on. I got to get his number straightened out here. Sparks, if you're listening to me, text me his number. I got it in 9 places, but I just tried to do it and it didn't work. Pretty funny. Well, you know, I'm talking to the guy. My phone audio is not, I said, you want to talk about the election? He said, sure. So, anyway, we'll get to that in a minute or two. 24 after the hour, and welcome in. Hey, we have a dearth of input, generally in media, and you can solve that part of the time by ringing in and checking in. We're at radioanything@gmail.com, radioanything@gmail.com. I'll give you one thing. That's all you got to get out of this show. If you miss anything else, then send us an email and I'll let you know what's what, all right? You can also, as I said, during the 9 to 10 Central Time hour in Chicago, in Central Time Zone, you can ring in and do a live phone call. We hope that you do that whenever you have something on your mind today. If you're feeling good enough to dial a phone and you're up and at them, that is 773-907-0724. All right, it's the main studio line. Tell you what, why don't we exercise that? Aaron, are you listening? Call it up. Let's try that line here. 773-907-0724. I don't know why, but you know what? I got up this morning with so thinking, you know, it's just going to be an easy day. I'm feeling better than Trump. I'm not on steroids. Gee whiz, what could happen? But you never know. So, tell you what here. Let's do a quickie. Here's a lick. I missed the presidential debate. I'm so sorry. Apparently the only thing that came out of that was a good sketch on Saturday Night Live. This is from last week, and then we will reassemble. I want to talk about the made-for-TV movie Sick Presidents.
All right. Your 2 minutes, sir. We're now moved to you. As I said, posing the question, the president says it's a V-shaped recovery. You say it's a K-shaped recovery. What's the difference?
The difference is millionaires and billionaires like him in the middle of the COVID crisis have done very well. Another billionaires have made another $300 billion because of his profligate tax proposal, and he only focused on the market. But you folks at home, you folks living in Scranton and Claymont and all the small towns and working-class towns in America, how well are you doing? This guy paid a total of $750 in taxes.
Sir,
it's just
the
wrong statement.
I understand. You've agreed to the 2 minutes, so please let him have it.
Do I get my time back? The fact is that he has, in fact, worked on this in a way that he's going to be the first president of the United States to leave office, having fewer jobs in his administration than when he became president. Fewer jobs than when he became president. First one in American history. Secondly, the people who have lost their jobs are those people who have been on the front lines, those people who have been saving our lives, those people who have been out there dying, people who have been putting themselves in the way to make sure that we could all try to make it. And the idea that he is insisting that we go forward and open when you have almost half the states in America with a significant increase in COVID deaths and COVID cases in the United States of America. And he wants to open it up more. Why does he want to open it up? Why doesn't he take care of the America? You can't fix the economy until you fix the COVID crisis. And he has no intention of doing anything about making it better for you all at home in terms of your health and your safety. Schools. Why aren't schools open? Because it costs a lot of money to open them safely. You know, they were going to give, his administration was going to give the teachers and school students masks. And then they decided, no, couldn't do that because it's not a national emergency. Not a national emergency. They've done nothing to help small businesses. Nothing. They're closing. One in six is now gone. He ought to get on the job and take care of the needs of the American people so we can open safely.
All right. Your time is up, sir. Well, we are going to get to
I have to respond to that.
Well, you both had 2 minutes.
Oh, you both had. Come on. Just sit down now. That's from the presidential debate last week. The irrepressible Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and I think we finally have the man of the hour here. Aaron, the News Baron, hello.
Hey, how's it going, Jay? Okay.
Well, you know, I talked to somebody who sounds just like you. And I should have recorded that off the air. I don't know what he thought I said when he picked up. I'll talk politics with you. Okay, let's do it. Anyway, you did in fact see the debate, but that's almost old news by now. So, I thought we would just talk about whatever. I think you heard some of my opening ranting here. What about it? I'll drop the needle. Do you have any confidence at all that you're getting the straight answer out of what's going on in Walter Reed Hospital or the White House?
I really don't know. Kind of going back to the debate, tying that in, before the debate, everyone had to be tested but the Chris Wallace and the two debaters. And it was kind of on the honor system, and we found out that Trump got there too late to be tested by the doctors there.
That's right.
They kind of just took his word that he took a test. So he could have had it before the debate, potentially passed on to anybody there. He has stake in Remdesivir.
Yep.
The company that makes Remdesivir.
You know what? I forgot that. Yeah, deal that out. Let's remind people. Remdesivir is this largely experimental drug that they're pushing. I'd forgotten, though. He has a stake in that company? He does.
He does.
How about
that? The one that was talking about hydrochloroquine. That makes that as well.
He has the bleach. The bleach, right? Do you remember?
Yeah.
This has been such a voyage of discovery. Remember my song, Don't Drink Bleach? I was going to bring that out today. Yeah, somebody said that they ought to bring back the malaria drug for him. I don't know. Wow. So, are you what part of you is mad at him, and not what part of you is intellectually calm enough to just sort of say, here it is, I don't have to get angry about it?
Well, look, in 2016, one of his first acts was to ban majority Muslim countries, people from those countries, from coming to the to the U.S.,
right,
regardless of their actual, you know, danger to the country.
Mm-hmm.
From that point to now, 4 years later, I am angered out, especially his debate, his failure to unequivocally condemn white supremacy. At this point, he's putting his Secret Service agents in danger. It's like the last possible group of people you want to put in danger.
Aaron, that's why nobody wants to work for this man. You know, they won't anybody that's worked for him. You can't get anybody to say anything good about him. They all hated him behind the scenes. It's unbelievable. I hope that anybody I've had, you know, professional contact over the years, I hope at least one of them will say, well, you know, he was this or he was that, but not so with Trump. What an unbelievable jerk. Yeah. So, but go ahead. So we're both angry about that. You heard me do the take on back and forth at the hospital. Do you see a scenario for that? I mean, this is going to go, this is going to go that way. He's going to feel better and then feel worse. And, I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth. Does that sound right to you, or do you have a different scenario there?
It does. I'm just curious as to, with the 25th Amendment, do they need to disclose that publicly?
Mm.
If they do, like, kind of, for the moment, hand over reins to Pence, but, you know, Trump is still making these videos and taking these photos, signing blank pieces of paper, and kind of doing the theatrics of it. Do they have to say, you know, what the deal is, really?
Well, I'm going to bring in a referee. Here we go. Okay. Oddly enough, our hardworking producers provided us a copy of the 25th Amendment. I get into this. I don't want to bore people beyond their current thing here. It starts. Let me read it quick and like encapsulate it. You know what I'm talking about. In the case of the removal of the president from office, or his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. That's section one. I think that's relevant because this really is on Pence to some extent. This is section three now, whenever the president transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate, my good personal friend Charles Grassley, now interviewed him once, but he's the guy, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, this theoretically is from the president. You'll know that it's from him because it'll be misspelled. There'll be a lot of exclamation points with dots in them. Such powers and duties shall be discharged by the vice president as acting president. Okay, here's that. We can read a little bit more of this, but here's what I know about this, Aaron. When George W. Bush was in office, he had two colonoscopies. Now, to have a colonoscopy, you've got to be somewhat anesthetized. So my understanding was that they, you know, did the thing. Dick Cheney was standing there with his, I don't know if they give him the briefcase. Dick, come on in. Here's the bomb. You know, whatever they did. But they did, in fact, do some official, notification and do all that. But I think you're asking me, I hope, could all this stuff be happening? Could they be doing whatever they want to do power-wise behind the scenes without telling anybody? I think the answer to that is yes. What do you think?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past this White House. The doctors initially came out and played games about whether they gave him supplemental oxygen. The next day came out and said, well, I actually did give him supplemental oxygen. Wanted to, you know, what do you say?
Say again.
No confidence in the results of whatever.
Yeah.
So I feel as if he could be really in danger, and they want to kind of play it down, which they obviously would do.
Yeah.
But I don't know how far that will go, you know?
I don't think it'll go very far. I said, you know, Trump has, I think, 4 years on me. I'm roughly the same height as him. I don't dye my hair, Aaron, although I would if I had any, so I'll concede that. He and I take some of the same sort of stuff. Both everybody our age has mild coronary artery disease. But he outweighs me by 122 pounds, and I do not wear a girdle. And, I mean, really, it's the guy was – I don't think I said this to anybody on the air, but I did make a point off the air that I thought Trump was going to die or be incapacitated by the time of the election. I was not talking about the COVID. He just seemed to me like a sick old man, and it takes one to know one. He just didn't look to me like he was going to make it. So on top of this whole thing, plus America is saying, not all of Americans, they're saying he got what he deserved. You know, what an appropriate coup d'etat from God. So, yeah, what about that, Aaron? Do you have a moral quandary? Biden's a good guy. Biden said he was praying for Trump. I'm praying, but we're not praying for the same thing. But go ahead.
Well, I'll happily take the reins as the a-hole. I was actually, funny enough, on a call with Natasha that night when the news first came out,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't felt joy like that in a long time.
Well, all right.
I hate to wish death on anyone, believe me.
I know.
I have friends whose grandparents and parents have died from this, so I know that no one wants to wish that on anyone's family or loved ones. But when you actively know that this disease is aerosolized before the majority of the public does, and then you actively suppress the use of masks, you actively suppress the knowledge of the real danger to your supporters.
Right, right, to everybody, yeah.
It gets to a point where, you know, you reap what you sow at a point.
Yeah. I think that is, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, listen, it'd be one thing if, you know, he got this by accident or, you know, he was wearing a mask, but it happened anyway. These people have mocked it. They mocked Biden for wearing masks, you know. So, yeah. I completely agree. Speaking of anger, I think this is good. You know, we need themes for our show. I think Monday could be, Monday morning anger. We just get up and whatever. But come on, who gets up and says, let's go tap dancing? So, no, I like this. I think it's been frustrating to be thrown into this and to have to, make sense of it for ourselves as reporters, whatever you and I can consider ourselves. And then we got to translate it. And then we got to say, but by the way, paragraphs 9 through 14 are wrong. It's ridiculous. And I think it's slowed us down. But let me go back to a particular point of view here. I was asking you about the Nuremberg trials. And for folks that are younger than I am, you, Nuremberg trials were the post-Nazi World War II trials that were held in Nuremberg, Germany, for war criminals. And there were a lot of the Nazis that were still alive were war criminals. And I talked about what would be the Trump Nuremberg trial. And it hit me, as I said, I was watching a movie. Did you happen to see this movie? You know what know about it? It's called The Comey.
Yeah.
You know about it? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I did see the trailer for it, and I saw a review of it. I will watch it soon, though.
I never recommend movies. It's on Showtime, which isn't really on my radar. It happened to be on my system. I'll tell you why it grabbed me. It's called The Comey Rule, right? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Comey's played by Jeff Daniels. I don't know if people know who Jeff Daniels is. They've got a guy playing Trump who is... He's like the way Alec Baldwin plays him, only his jaw is even worse. And Holly Hunter's in there playing Sally Yates. Anyway, I thought I was running a little bit of a temperature, and I was not on steroids, but I thought it was very compelling. It's all the things that we know or suspect or thought that he has said in real life, only it was kind of acted out. I got a good one for you, Aaron. This is one scene. They have, and Comey, by the way, I read his, I know it seems like I'm sicker than Trump right now. I was in the hospital a couple of visits ago. That's about the only time I have these days to really sit down and read an entire book and, you know, pay attention. Anyway, I read Comey's book, and I thought he was, I don't know, I found him to be a pretty sympathetic character. I disagree that he's a dirty cop or whatever. Anyway, there's this great scene where they're all trying to pick at Comey, and what do you know? And he's in a meeting. I think at this point Trump has left the room, and Rance Priebus, remember him? Rice Priebus? Yeah. Yeah. All right, so Comey's there, and someone, and I don't know if this was a character who was actually a character, just somebody, but anyway, he comes over to Comey, says, I hope I get this right, I think he was talking about Michael Flynn. He says, so, Mr. Director, what do you really have on Mike Flynn? And Comey says, can you keep a secret? And the guy says, oh, yeah. And Comey says, I can, too. And it's that kind of movie. But I don't know. The way they really screwed Comey, and it's awful. I go back to what I said a while ago. Sarah Huckabee Sanders to me was like the evil of the evil of the evil, and she makes an appearance, you know, on a CNN thing there on during this movie. But the juxtaposition with the way they lied about everybody, yeah. So, but anyway, I think that's the Nuremberg trial. I think all these made-for-TV movies and the books that have come out, Aaron, none of this stuff, you know, somebody like you, none of this is, you know, you suspected it, right? I mean, even in the Bob Woodward book, you know, what was coming out, you didn't say, wow, that's shocking, correct? Right. You said, well, I thought that was coming out. I think that you're going to see that same kind of thing now as everybody now does their post-Trump thing. What make that make any sense? I mean, I guess I'm saying it's Nuremberg. It's the Nuremberg trial 2020. It's on TV. What about that?
I think you hit the nail directly on the head with that one. That's how America kind of deals with stuff. They talk about the Nuremberg trials, kind of equivalent to like apartheid in South Africa, where they had the trial, like the government-led program to actually look into what were the effects of apartheid on the populace. Same thing with the Nuremberg trials. We never really did that when it came to, like, in this country, the Civil War. One side won, the other side was bitter. We never really resolved that. Slavery. One side won, the other side was bitter. We never really resolved that and looked into what were the actual tangible effects of it.
Right.
And I know this is in no way equivalent to those extremes, but, you know, one side is going to win this election cycle. The other side will be bitter, and we'll never really resolve it. But we will have a lot of these, like how – throughout the presidency, earlier than I would have expected, people started coming out, writing books about the truth behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a lot more of that than people kind of recanting, saying, hey, look, I was on your side the whole time. This guy's a crazy nut.
I know.
You know, that's going to happen a lot, but there will be a large group of people who unfortunately will say they stole the election, we won in heart, and they'll carry that with them.
Yeah. This is Aaron the News Baron on Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. It is 17 before the hour. You're listening to us? Please ring in. You can leave us a voicemail, a toll-free voicemail, 24/7. It's 844-220-3300. And I think I have another phone line open. We could see if it rings over. That's 7. So this is live now, 9 to 10 on the Central Time Zone front. That's 773-907-0724. Anyway, or just save yourself any further effort and just drop us an email. It's radioanything@gmail.com. So I was talking this morning, and maybe we'll do a little bit of a historical thing about sick presidents. You know, I'm kind of a presidential buff, and there have been presidents that have been sick, and they died, and they didn't die, and any of that through history. I was trying to kind of figure out what we could learn about that. But I want to go back to Pence, and I want your punditry on this, Aaron. It seems to me right now like the Republican structure would be fine with Trump, frankly, either dying or being incapacitated or just taking a nice long nap. But in any scenario, him just getting out of the way, and here's Mike Pence, who is, you know, he's not sick. He will be on the ballot. You know, if they did this right, Aaron, they could get a write-in ballot. It could be Pence and like Nikki Haley. You know,
right.
I mean, it could. So, what about that? Do you? Because I just don't think. And for somebody like Mitch McConnell, he doesn't give a damn. He's gonna flip no matter what. Anyway, to follow my thought there and respond to it. What might be happening behind the scenes? I know, as again, to say it's a month before the election, a month is a long time for a 74-year-old man to have COVID. And I think that's what's going to happen. All right, I'm going to shut up. Go ahead.
I can see that happening. I can see kind of a scramble at the end to see, because Nikki Haley, there was a lot of talk earlier about Trump scrapping Pence for Nikki Haley anyway.
That's right.
So I think she is beloved in the Republican Party. Right. So I can see that. I could see that ticket coming through. I don't know how much the Trumpists they love the person, first and foremost.
You're talking about the voters and the supporters, not the Republican senators, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly,
okay. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know. I don't know if they'll be as excited if Trump, you know, ends up not being on that ballot. But I don't know. But I would really want to talk to you about the long-term development of the Republican Party and what they'll become. Because either way, Trump will cease to be on that on that ballot, whether it's this election cycle or the next, or maybe before that.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I could see Pence and Haley. I don't know how much excitement that'll draw.
I say more than Trump and Pence. I think more than Trump and Pence. You got a guy. I mean, consider the scenario there. How much better? And I'm not wishing ill on anybody here, but imagine a month of he's looking better, oh, he's not looking good, you know what I mean? That's, at the end of that, I think he's really damaged goods for, you know, if in fact he manages to make it through. But here's Pence, who looks like he just took a shower, right? He's clean and fresh.
Good point.
So I don't know. I do think, though, there's a difference between and I agree with what you're saying. I think the Trump voter, the Trump supporter, they are, you know, they're at their evangelical prayer meeting and they want the man to survive and they want him to be at the top of the ticket. But I think a lot of the, I don't want to say the Lincoln Project. Let's say a lot of former Republicans, I think they would be much more likely to pull the lever for Pence, just because, you know, Trump was the first guy that nobody could control, you know, really. He just broke all the, and don't you think, I'm talking about other politicians, don't you think by and large they all hate his guts?
Politicians, yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I think they're waiting for the moment, so.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it. I've been stuck in the root. Trump voter perspective, but that's a really good point.
Well, and they'll, that's all got to kind of mash up. As I was completing my mail-in ballot, and right there, you know, on anybody's national ballot, along with the choice for Trump or Biden, you've got all the, you know, all the down offices, the senators and the congresspeople. I don't know. I think I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of I'm trying to pick a specific Republican, but I think pick a Republican senator who's up for reelection. I think he'd be fine with running under, Pence and Haley or anybody. I think that strengthens their hand. Comment?
I think that's true. I really do think the more I think about it, the more that makes sense, because Trump has brought a lot of the Republicans more towards the middle, and because they kind of picked Biden as the most, you know, center of the aisle Democrat, they could have that election cycle, or the primary cycle at least. That does make a lot of sense. I can see that.
I was also, you know, trying to imagine where the I don't know where they go from here, and You know, Trump is not, he doesn't succeed himself, I don't think, under any circumstances. And I don't know, my wondering is, what's really going on inside those councils of war? Don't you think, Aaron, from the get-go, there's been a shadow government, the people around Pence, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago, as he stood frozen-faced behind Trump when he was publicly humiliated? Don't you think there was a group that's saying, hey, Mike, hang in there, buddy, hang in there, your time's coming? And I think this is his time. So
most definitely. I think Trump was a big transition point for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Because now, like, there are people who vote on taxes and they vote on their conservative values in terms of, like, you know, religion and smaller government, all of that stuff. But I think there's a growing population of people that are more so against this, quote, like, how do you say it, like the PC culture.
Yeah.
Or against the over political correctness or the inclusivity of everything. I think that is where the Republican Party, in my opinion, will start to lean towards. And Trump was the perfect person to kind of bring that, the social issues, to the forefront rather than policy. I think a lot of people will vote against their interests in that spirit.
I think you're exactly right about that. And the comments from people that they've, you know, surveyed really support what you just said. I think this is an interesting time. I just, I don't know. I don't have any worries about the election. I do think we're going to elect Biden. I don't think that there's going to be some crisis in the, in the electoral process. But God only, you know, I don't think either you or I would put anything past these people. So
honestly,
yeah.
Luckily, he is up 5 points in Florida now post debate. He's up 7 in Pennsylvania.
That's looking
bright.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that that's another thing. The part of this, man, he's a guy that lives by ratings and dies by ratings. We're all assembling. There's so much stuff. I was going to try to make it just kind of a non-Trump week. Oops. But there's so much. You know, I've been trying to make sense. There's a good article that sort of says, it's about a 500-word piece that sort of explains. It's called The Poorest Billionaire in the World. I read that. Anyway, stuff like that. But I think that it's, I think what we just kind of need to do is to keep our eye on the prize here to some extent. But do not be fooled when he is released from the hospital. I bet it's this week. I bet he goes back to the White House. He says, oh, he's looking good. And then he'll have a setback. All the doctors will tell you that. This has ups and downs. And I think, again, I mean, it's all about the stock market to him.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So he's like, I'm in the hospital, but I'm feeling better. So don't sell your shares. Thank you, by the way, for reminding me that he's got a position in remdesivir. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, they said he could be released as early as today.
Yeah.
They said that yesterday or the day before. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens today.
Well, again, I mean, it's, I don't know. Again, listen, I don't want to overestimate my commonality with Trump, but some of the stuff they're talking about, I know for a fact is nonsense. And we'll see. So,
I just don't think it behooves them to say he could be out. He has people outside the hospital now holding up signs and flags.
Right.
They're saying he could be out as early as Monday.
Yeah.
If they really didn't think that was the case, I really don't know if they would say that, because that would set expectations. They'll fall below that. Then that'll be bad on their behalf.
Well, but you're right, Aaron. But I also think that they're basically, they're trying to get the doctors to do what their thing is now. And I think that, to that extent, if they announce that he's going to be released, I mean, I don't know. This thing that I read this morning, it's 6 before the hour here. Thanks for hanging on with all of us on this Pandemic Pirate Monday. The thing that I read this morning, I'm going to try to reach over, but they were talking about the doctors, kind of a group of sort of unspecified doctors who have said that he might be able to go out as early as Monday. But, Aaron, you know, again, in full personal disclosure, I've done a lot of checking in and out of hospitals, and it's a pretty complicated process in which the last thing that they want is that any of the doctors, you know, signed off and then you left the hospital and got sick, right? They don't want to say, doctor, hey, Dr. Wilson, you know, did you know that the guy had a head wound? Oh, you did? So, I mean, I'm embroidering it, but you don't have to be very cartoonish. This guy was given oxygen over the weekend.
Exactly.
You know, Jesus. So, anyway. Whoa. Aaron, don't go anywhere. Well, go back to bed. But don't leave Chicago until we've had a chance to talk, all right?
I will not.
And thanks a million, man. Well, you and I are going to get through this week.
All right, cool. Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. You know, the thing that I like about Aaron, and, well, I guess somebody could tell me, you know, well, I could tell Trump that it's really not about you. You know. Have you seen this movie? Oh, you have? Well, it's not about you, Trump.
This is my chance to finally do some work that actually means something.
That means something to who? You had a career, Dad, before the third comic book movie. Before people started to forget who was inside that bird costume. You were doing a play based on a book that was written 60 years ago for 1,000 rich old white people whose only real concern is going to be where they go to have their cake and coffee when it's over. Nobody gives a shit but you. And let's face it, Dad, you are not doing this for the sake of art. You are doing this because you want to feel relevant again. Well, guess what? There is an entire world out there where people fight to be relevant every single day, and you act like it doesn't exist. Things are happening in a place that you ignore, a place that, by the way, has already forgotten about you. I mean, who the fuck are you? You hate bloggers, you mock Twitter, you don't even have a Facebook page. You're the one who doesn't exist. You're doing this because you're scared to death, like the rest of us, that you don't matter. And you know what? You're right. You don't. It's not important, okay? You're not important. Get used to it.
Oh, Ivanka, now you've really hurt my feelings. This Widecast, produced by Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky.